Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our two-part study of the new heaven and new earth in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. All of our studies can be found in video and audio format at BBFOhio.com or by listening to our 24/7 internet radio station at BBFOhioRadio.com. If you'd like to write with questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or by letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Now let's get right into our study, beginning with Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, the new heaven and new earth. This is part 1 of 2. All right. A new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21:1. You go ahead and turn your Bibles there. And while you're turning, or if you got them open, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this good time we can have tonight, and celebrating Jenny's birthday and enjoying our fellowship. And the fellowship we have is rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Born-again, Bible-believing, blood-bought Christians coming together to sing about Jesus, to fellowship, to pray together, and to open this book. And Lord, we just pray you help us in our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we are basically, in Revelation 21, beyond the great white throne, and are given a glimpse into the eternal future. But there's one thing you want to be aware of, and that is the fact that some of what you read about the millennium and some of what you read about the eternal future can get confusing. And we're going to do what we can tonight to lay out some of this, to give you an idea of what we're talking about. The important thing is that you know you're going there. Amen?
Amen.
And if tonight we don't hit everything we wanted to, we'll pick up next study. But let's go ahead and read verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now I want to take this kind of line by line. I want to start with the introduction, and I don't always recommend commentaries and such, but I read them and give it the Acts 17:11 treatment. Once in a while, you come across a good statement like this from Albert Barnes. You might have heard of Barnes' Notes on the Bible, Revelation 21. He says the whole quote, the whole chapter of chapter 21 and the first five verses of chapter 22 relate to scenes beyond the judgment and are descriptive of the happy and triumphant state of the redeemed church when all its conflicts shall have ceased and all its enemies shall have been destroyed.
Amen.
Amen. I just love that because it's true. And I was just thinking about it and thought, what an exhilarating promise. I don't know, sometimes you read the Bible, it's like a shot of adrenaline. This is all about our eternal home. No matter how bad it gets in the here and now, we can meditate on being with Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Said in the beginning of the verse, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now this causes confusion, so pay close attention. We try to deal with some of this. But this is a little reality check as you're reading through the Bible. There were two previous heavens and earth before now. And there are two yet to come. And we'll break those down in just a minute. But this is a book I used, one of the few books I used in Bible college that I keep and I use. And Henry Thiessen's his name, Lectures in Systematic Theology. And he says they are called new, but this does not mean new in the absolute sense, for the earth abideth forever. In other words, you read the Bible, there's times where it talks about new heaven, new earth. And if you pay close attention, you can tell it's not talking about the same thing every time. And there are times where, well, we'll see, the Bible says that the earth abides forever. Now, you'll have people say, that's a contradiction. I assure you that if there's a contradiction in your mind about the Bible, the problem is your mind.
Yep. Your phone turned off.
We're just not going to be able to do it.
The battery.
It's not unplugged. It's the plug is the problem. Just don't worry about it. But there's no contradiction when we take all of Scripture as a whole. So when you see something, this is why dispensations are so important. Dispensations tell you when certain things are going on in the Bible. And if you don't divide the Bible rightly, then you're going to have real trouble. You're going to think there's contradictions. And we pointed those out in our studies of Revelation, so I won't repeat all that. But the Bible says the earth abideth forever. So there's a new heaven and a new earth coming, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth after that. And Ecclesiastes 1:4 says that earth is made new in the sense that one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth itself abideth forever.
Amen.
So we understand the earth is still going to be here. The new earth, when you were born again, it's still you. Mm-hmm. But you are now born again. Mm-hmm. And then when you are resurrected or go up in the rapture, you're going to get a glorified body. But it's still you. Amen?
Amen?
There are people who have this idea of heaven and of the glorified body like it's not even going to be them anymore. And they're going to have amnesia. They're not going to remember anything. And they're not even going to... People think they're going to get to heaven and not even know everybody. And it's just a weird idea about heaven. It's still going to be you. It's still going to be me. But we're going to be in a glorified state. So it'll be perfect fellowship. Perfect health. Perfect memory.
Amen.
Amen. I am terrible with names. I mean, I am terrible with names. I try. It's not that I don't love you. But if I see you out and I have to think real hard about your name, right? You know what I've done? I just ask. Well, it happened to Pedro tonight. I'm like, well, so, well, what's your name? Because I haven't seen his face much. I'm glad to see it. But, you know, he's got the face for TV. But I had to ask, well, if I see you out, now Tracy's like, you have to ask me, there's something wrong with you. And that's true. There's some of you I shouldn't have to ask. But let's say I haven't seen somebody in years. Sometimes, hey man, you get older. You know, you can change. When we get to heaven, we're going to be in a glorified state. You better believe we're all going to look different. I mean, not to hurt your feelings, but none of you are glorified right now.
Amen.
And when you get to heaven, you're going. But you know what? Somehow or other, I believe we're going to know each other. And the same thing is the point with the earth. The earth itself is going to be the earth, but it's going to be made new. Psalm 104:5. Read that. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? See that? So that's why we understand when it says a new heaven and a new earth what it's talking about. And here's a quick list of the ages of the earth. And that's what I like to call it, the ages of the earth. You can also, actually the Bible uses the term generations of the earth, heaven and earth. Lucifer's fall took place before the Garden of Eden. And this is such a weird thing for me to have to explain to some people who come at me like I'm some kind of heretic because I say this. When Lucifer and Satan and the serpent and the dragon, all the same entity. When the serpent came up to Eve, she hadn't sinned yet. But he's a liar. He lies to Eve. He cons her. Why is this serpent a sinner before sin? See, because what people teach, especially those who want to teach the young earth thing, is they want to teach that sin came into the world when it comes to the entire universe. Sin came into the world when Eve sinned in the garden. No, sin came upon us and on the creation of earth at that time. But Lucifer had already fallen. Isaiah 14 had already taken place. And if you read, now we don't have time to run all these, but you've heard Genesis 1, 1 and 2 real loud. Quote me Genesis 1, 1 and 2, Jenny.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
You remember those verses?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard her quote those earlier, so I knew she could do it again. Go over to Jeremiah. She's quoting them to Brother Mark on the phone earlier. Jeremiah, prophet. Try to run some of these references. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 23. And see if this sounds familiar. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, and they had no light. Did you hear what Jenny just said from Genesis chapter 1? Verse 24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Verse 25, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and the birds of the heavens were fled. You say birds? Yes. Look up the use of birds, fowls of the air, devils.
Amen.
Verse 26, and I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was as a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger, and so forth. There was something here that was destroyed when Lucifer fell. And we don't know the specifics, but we're going to find out, praise God. But we know it happened. And that's when you had the original, as far as creation, in the account that we've been given, the original heaven and the earth. But Lucifer fell, and something happened. And 2 Peter 3, we're going to run over there in a minute. Go ahead and turn to 2 Peter 3, but keep your finger there when you get there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, you see that? The world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Watch this, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There was a heavens and an earth before the garden. And then there was the flood. And the flood resulted in a new heaven and earth. Go over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis, keep your finger there in 2 Peter 3, by the way. And just look at verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die.
Amen.
Just to give you a little hint as to the fact of the new heaven and earth because of the flood, before the flood, Jenny was telling people how old she was earlier. Can you tell? Five. And 56. She doesn't mind. That's why I ask. I wouldn't ask. I'm not as dumb as I look. I wouldn't have asked if she minded. Do you realize before the flood, she's just an adolescent? Before the flood, they lived to be 900 years old if they lived a good long life. Methuselah lived to 969. And when a guy died under the age of 800, it was a shame he died so young. Something changed, amen?
Amen.
So there you go. And between the time of the flood and the second coming is where we are now. And at the second coming, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Let's look at that. Let's go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, beginning verse 17, says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." In other words, no one's going to be sitting around during the millennium saying, "Man, I sure wish that weather we had back in 2016. You remember the Jenny, you remember that week we moved, how beautiful it was? Have any of you paid attention to the weather we had before today, the last few days? I told Charlie, I wasn't joking, I said, "Man, this is what the millennium is going to be like." I said, "If it gets just stuck right here, I'd be happy." No, in reality, the millennium is going to blow that away. The millennium is going to just blow it out of the water. We're not even going to think. It's going to be so beautiful. "The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." It doesn't say you have amnesia. It's like when something's so good, you forget about everything else. It's like since Tracy started making those green beans, I forgot what other people's green beans taste like. Amen. Verse 18. "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." That's during the millennium. How do you know that? Read verse 19. "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Verse 20. "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days." Watch this. "For the child shall die and 100 years old. So this isn't in eternity. This is in the millennium. "But the sinner shall be 100 years old, shall be accursed." In other words, if a young person, like I said, I was joking about dying at 800, and I say, "What a shame they died so young." Literally, if somebody dies at the age of 100, they'll be considered like an infant. And be like, "What a shame they only lived to be 100. And they'll only die because of rebellion."
That's right.
See? So that's why we got a new heavens and a new earth to start off at the millennium at the return of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus makes reference to this about His second coming. Matthew chapter 19, in verse 28. And He uses a word, we got up there, generations of heaven and earth, and He uses the word regenerations. And again, the term regeneration, we normally use it in reference to us being born again. But Romans 8, Paul talks about the time where all creation which is groaning is going to be, as Jesus puts it, regenerated. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Verse 28 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's the millennium. Amen? That's a good time. It's like a sound effect. We like sound effects. Okay. Then, at the end of the millennium is this final judgment that we've studied recently. That great white throne, where the unsaved are going to stand, and I believe that is where they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, but that's not because they're saved, it's because they're damned. Amen. "And whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." We stated that a couple weeks back. Now, if you kept your finger there on 2 Peter, in chapter 3, let me get where I'm supposed to be. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Now, we're studied in that text in light of Revelation 21:1 that we're reading right now. There's a new heavens and new earth. And this fellow named A.C. Gatling put out an annotated Bible. It's published in 1919. And no one here was around when that happened. I'm just making that clear since I brought up my wife's age. I want to make sure that everybody understood that. Amen. That's the annotated Bible you can get for free online, by the way. It's not 100% perfect. It's like Scofield's reference Bible. But there's some good stuff in there. And he says, many Christians have a very vague conception of the eternal state. That's what I was referring to earlier. Of the earth and the abode of the redeemed. They think of it as a spiritual state destitute of any locality. It's like this fuzzy out in the nowhere zone. And it's not like that at all. He says, but it is not so. The earth and the heaven abide as definite places throughout all eternity. What a marvelous fact this is. Amen. It's a real place. I had to argue with a Christian, and I believe they're saved. They're just stupid. I had to argue with them about whether heaven was a real place. When I said, the Bible says, promotion doesn't come from the east. Where am I at? The east, the west, or the south. That's what it says. So where does it come from? The north. And when it talks about Lucifer being cast out of heaven, he was cast out of the sides of the
north.
And they're like, well, north to you is different than it would be to someone on another galaxy. I mean, yes, but God's talking to you. And from where you're sitting, it's north. Yes. What? Any Michigan fans here? What does the average Michigan student get on their ACT exams?
Drool.
Hi-yo. All right. He continues. I'm going to read a few things from this guy because it's so good. In chapter 20, verse 11, we read, it's like he's been part of this study. We read that the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place. We saw that at that time the great conflagration, which Peter speaks, we just read, took place when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But we read in the same chapter, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. See? During the millennium, righteousness reigns upon the earth, but now a state comes for the earth when righteousness shall dwell there.
Amen.
See that? Righteousness reigns during the millennium. After that, with the new heavens and a new earth, righteousness dwells there. See, things that are different are not the same. See, people, I hope you're getting what my point is, because so many people just read through the Bible and they just go, they like to say, "Oh, I read through the Bible." Yeah, that's great. You should, but you gotta make sure you understand what you're reading. And I have people all the time come back and say, "You're crazy. You'd think Gog and Magog war is going to happen before Armageddon. All you got to do is go over there in Revelation and read. It says Gog and Magog are in Armageddon war." So you're saying that because Gog and Magog is mentioned in the Armageddon war, that means that all the other references to Gog and Magog have to be at Armageddon? False. There was this nation called Germany in World War I. So obviously there was no such thing as a Germany in World War II. See the lack of logic? Germany was in both wars. They were pretty much the reason both wars happened. And Gog Magog is going to be in three wars. They're going to be in the war of Ezekiel's Gog and Magog. They'll be at the war when Jesus returns. And they'll be at the war at the end of the millennium. See? You read something in the Bible, just because it sounds similar doesn't mean it's the same. And that's what people do with the Bible all the time. It drives me batty. And I know I don't have far to drive. The great burning up meant not an annihilation of the earth and heavens. Now, you got to get this, because you would never dream that these things go together. But people will teach this new heavens and new earth means an annihilation. They'll tie that into a denial of eternal hell.
That's right.
He explains it here. God does not annihilate anything. Look it up. Nor does Scripture teach an annihilation of material things, and much less the annihilation of human beings, as false teachers claim. The complication of the earth and the heaven means their complete purification. And the reason why people will burn in hell for eternity, they'll be in a lake of fire forever, is because they can never be purified by fire. They can only be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they rejected that. It has nothing to do with God being a mean ogre who wants to torment people. It's that they chose it. They rejected the one thing that could purify them, the blood of God. And they have chosen eternal purification in a lake of fire. Something to chew on there, huh? Quote, the heaven mentioned cannot be the entire heavens, for... And this is another thing people just can't get. For there is a heaven which cannot be touched by these fires of purification, the third heaven.
Amen.
The heaven is that which surrounds the earth and which was once the peculiar sphere of the great usurper, the prince of the power of the air. See? We studied that recently in Ephesians. Almost done here, but this is so good I just went ahead and put it all in here. Quote, and when Peter writes that all this is according to his promise, he has a well-known prophetic statement in Isaiah that we read. For as the new heaven and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. That's actually, we read this. He's quoting Isaiah 66:22. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So I want to make that clear, because we're going to see a new heaven and new earth in the millennium. It'll be much better than anything you see today. And yet, do you realize that after the millennium, there's a new heaven, new earth that blows that out of the water?
Amen.
Oh. We discussed this at length in our study Sunday of Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Look it up on your own time, but all the new versions pervert that. All the new versions change that. Why? Because there is coming a world without end. But it's not this one. There's a new heaven and a new earth that'll last for 1,000 years. After that, a new heaven and a new earth that'll last for eternity. You say, well, what's that going to be like? The heavens and the earth will be made new.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.